Okay, I'll call to order the meeting of the Oceana Community Services District Board of Directors for May 11th, 2005. Would you join me in the, well, Gina, can we have a roll call, please, first?
Yes.
Here.
Vice President Mann.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Now would you please join me in the flag salute?
Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to item number three on the agenda, board member items for discussion.
I don't really have anything.
Okay.
I have nothing.
Not at this time.
Okay, I had a comment about the town hall meeting, but I'll save that until your discussion.
And several items at the OCSD meetings, the eventual increases in water rates were mentioned. The recent comment of some board members that these are only a few dollars a month indicates that perhaps some members of the board are out of touch with the economic resources of the average Oceana resident. I am, as are so many others, totally dependent on monthly Social Security benefits. After mortgage payments, utility, and medical bills, along with saving each month for yearly insurance and property taxes, I have to decide each month which of two of my four medications I can buy to have enough money left over for proper nutrition. I think I speak for many financially compromised residents who find this proposed fire tax to be an added burden. It's signed sincerely, Helen Giebler. Thank you. And I will make sure that the board gets a hard copy of this in an appropriate form. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment? Hearing none. That brings us to item number five, review and approval of the minutes. We have two meetings, minutes to consider. The first would be the meeting of April 13th, 2005. Any comment or questions from the board? Any comment or questions from the public on that agenda? I guess those of us that were here that day were Director Angelo, Director Bookout, and myself, so I would look for a motion.
Do you have public comment?
Oh, I'm sorry, Peggy?
That's all right. Thank you. Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I will first address the April 13 minutes. We'll then move on when you're at your direction to April 27th. Regarding item number four of your April 13th minutes on page one, the last line states that Mark Wampler, Pamela Dean, Mary Lucy, and Oceano resident Peggy Wilson, et cetera, addressed the board. The comments, as I recall, were very pointed and very specific. And I'm wondering if memory serves, if those comments weren't presented in writing, in written form. And if not, then so be it. But I would prefer that everybody be either excluded or included equally. We certainly have details included in other public comment, and it seems to me that when certain things appear unfavorable to the district, our comments are stricken from the record, and I believe that that is not an ethical or a wise thing to do. Again, on item number 10 on page 3 of the April 13th minutes, it indicates that no public comment was offered, which in fact it was not at that time. However, I was allowed to provide public comment, which appears documented on item number 12. I would like that referenced to the item on number 10. And my comments were very specific, and I would like them included rather than just my name. When people show up and take their time, particularly when there are people who have proven that they try to keep up with district business. I think it's very important that their comments not be obliterated from any hope of being researched in future public records searches. With regard to item number D, Parks and Recreation, I'm going to speak to you now as the director, the president of the Oceano Housing Advisory Committee, or the chair.
I'm not following you. Where is that?
I'm sorry. 11D on page 4.
Okay.
I apologize. With regard to the issue of letters that have been sent to 4th District Supervisor Ashadian identifying sites within the district that are potential park sites and asking for his assistance, I would like to orally make this and ask that as a courtesy it be accepted as an official public records request. And I'm stating this as a private citizen and as the chair of Oceano Housing Advisory because it had been requested at a past OHAC meeting that the committee be provided with courtesy copies of any letters regarding the acquisition of potential park sites in Oceano. And that concludes my comments on the April 13th minutes. And at your pleasure, I'll proceed or I'll wait if you're going to take these motions separately.
I'd like to take them separately because different board members were present for different meetings.
Thank you.
Would it be possible to, that you could refer to? Or
I don't believe I do. I guess I could look at the tape and see what they are. So.
Okay. Yeah, if we could do that, I'd like to have that included. And later on, we're going to discuss potential changes to the minutes. But for to continue in the way that we have in the past, I believe that that enhancement would be good for these minutes.
Table.
Pardon me?
Table goes in. Okay.
Thank you, Vice President Mann. She suggests that we table these minutes then until the corrections can be made. The April 27th meeting, I was not present for that, so I will excuse myself from the discussion, but do we have any board comments on those minutes? Any comment from the public, Peggy, on the April 27th minute?
Peggy Wilson, Oceano. First of all, as I have asked in the past, whenever written submissions are presented to the board during open session or in direct association with specific agenda items, I would ask that they be attached to the permanent minutes and the public records, or absent that, specifically referenced as being included in the clerk's file. Anyone doing a public records search would be utterly unable to find out what truly went on if they didn't have a copy of the video or the tape. And if they came, if there were a member of the public in the future or a member of the media, they would have no way of actually researching what actually happened at the meeting. So I would reiterate that. On page 1 of your April 27 minutes, item 5, my notes indicate that, for example, item 10 in these minutes contained detailed comments from a member of the public. So to include such comments on what appear to be rather mundane issues while excluding comments that have been selected for apparent reflection negatively on the conduct of the district or its employees, it leads to questions of discrimination. If my comments or someone else's comments are excluded and they have to do with specific district business and someone else's comments are included because they're someone the board wants to hear from or they are saying something the board likes, I don't think that that would be a supportable position for the board. In terms of item 5B, it talks about approving minutes. Written objection to special favors asked for and received by Ruth Brackett are the subject of the April 18th special meeting. Again, I want to reiterate my objection. I consider that special favors, and I'm going to repeat my request that the OCCI be charged for the cost of that special meeting. Moving on to page 4 of your April 27th minutes, under item D, that will be item 9D, under the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee report, it was stated that there was a debate at the April 18th, 2005 meeting of the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee concerning OCCI. There was no debate. There was a discussion, but there was not a debate as such. It simply, and the videotape will ascertain, that the discussion did not rise to the level of a debate. Also, as for the statement following that at that special meeting on the 27th of the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee, that the OCSD lost its voting rights on the committee. That was not the statement that was made here. And again, the district's own video files will show that there were willfully false statements made that have been removed from these minutes. And those false statements need to be accounted for. And I want them acknowledged, and I will acknowledge them herein. The statement was made that the OCSD had been kicked off the advisory committee. This is not true. I debunked those statements at that time. I do so again here now for the benefit not only of your remarks, and ask that the appropriate changes to the minutes reflect them. Thank you.
Ms. Wilson. Are you providing a copy of the tapes of your Oceano Halcyon Advisory meetings to the OCSD?
I'll take direction from the board, from the president. Would you like me to answer that, or would you prefer that we not get into a back and forth? Because it seems like a back and forth at this point would kind of go against the rules of order, although I'm happy to answer. I have an answer. So I'll leave that to the pleasure of you, Mr. Hill.
I understand that there was some probably bad feelings, or as you say, back and forth, which I would discourage here, and I would encourage cooperation between the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee and the district as much as possible, and hopefully we can deal with each other with mutual respect and courtesy in all dealings. So
with regard to Director Bookout's question, you don't need an answer from me?
His question, if I understand correctly, was, is Oceana Halcyon supplying tapes of the meetings to OCSD?
I asked the person videoing the tapes if I could get a copy of them, and he referred me to Peggy Wilson for that. And I felt it was appropriate, you know, to ask for that, since it is a public meeting and since it is being copied. Also, since OCSD has been put on a position that I disagree with. I think that, you know, a tape should be provided to OCSD rather than withheld from us.
Would it be possible to get a copy of that tape?
Let me clarify for you. And for Mr. Bookout's benefit, we took a very significant action on the 27th that far, far, far outshines the problem that he seems to have, and that is our membership with Californians Aware. We are the first citizens advisory body in the state of California to have an official membership affiliation with Californians Aware. And the website that was provided to Mr. Bookout and to other members of the committee will get him to where he needs to be to answer these questions. And the fact of the matter is, and the law concerning this is the videotapes made of the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee meetings are private property. They are the private property of the individuals who do the taping. They are not available upon demand, and they are not a matter of public record as such, and they can be charged for, and the approach with which they have been requested thus far has been not something that I would care to respond to.
Okay, could I ask one further question?
Yes.
Would the tapes be available at a charge, to your best of your knowledge? And could you inform us what the fee might be?
I think that that would be an appropriate discussion for a time not at a public meeting such as the OCSD. Okay. And I would conclude my remarks by saying that the spirit within which these demands have been made have been utterly, utterly unacceptable. And when the people involved, and again, the only person who has a problem here is your Director Bookout. So when you get a handle on Director Bookout and he shows respect for the committee and the rules of the committee and the rule of law and the processes that we're trying to bring forward, I'm sure discussions would be greatly, greatly lubricated by such a change in attitude. And when that change in attitude is forthcoming, I will recognize it. But what we've had so far has been very disgusting, and it's bordered on the verge of threats and harassment. So when you can work that out with your director, you all contact me, and I'll be happy to meet with you.
Okay, thank you. I've sensed some adversity on possibly...
I'd like to make a comment. I just feel like my freedom of speech was taken away at these Oceano Housing Advisory meetings, which is... troubling to me, and I would like to see that the public is aware of this, and that's why I would like to see the copy of the tapes, and I would be willing to buy one of these tapes myself just to have that in my records.
Okay. Getting back to
the volume on
it is working, I believe.
Okay, barely. Can you give me a little volume on that?
You just speak very softly.
Yes, I do. It's true. Teddy Roosevelt said, speak softly and carry a big stick. I like his style. That's better. Thanks. Just with regards to the subject meeting that Mr. Bookout attended, I attended that meeting as well. And I want to concur that the conduct was very reprehensible. It was destructive. Mr. Bookout had quoted from some spurious documents that I don't know if anyone else, I didn't get a copy of those, neither did anyone that I knew of, as far as I know, got a copy of whatever you were quoting from Mr. Bookout that were allegedly bylaws of the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee. And at the point that those were to be reviewed, you snatched them out of the hand of the person next to you, and one of the committee members, and almost fell off your seat in the process. And it was very embarrassing to me, okay? The conduct was reprehensible, and it was shocking. It was shocking. So I regret that that happened. I would hope that in the future that our meetings would be a little bit more civil and understandable. Thanks.
Thank you.
Lon Mikowski, Oceano. And since we're on the subject and it was open for discussion, I would like to add that I, too, was at that meeting. And if the representative from the OCSD can't be a constructive member of the committee as such seated, then possibly you should consider appointing another member that would be more beneficial to your staff as far as giving you correct information.
Okay, thank you. I think we're on the subject of approval of the minutes. But any other I call a question among the board members that were present at that meeting.
I move to accept the April 27th meeting minutes.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Question, please. Is that as corrected or as presented?
As corrected.
As corrected. It's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes as corrected. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I abstain. Brings us to item 6A, report from the Sheriff's Department.
Commander Basti to me.
They said a good looking
one. I'll tell him you said
tell
that.
Him now.
He's at a Special Olympics meeting. He sends his apologies. I'm filling in for him. I'm Aaron Nix, the relatively new sergeant at the station, longtime South Station deputy, new sergeant to the station. If you've been reading the paper, you know we've had a busy last two or three weeks in Oceano. We've had three robberies within Oceano in the last two or three weeks. Happy to report we have people in custody on two of those. One was a purse snatch outside the Carambola Amigo. That's the only one we have yet to solve. Very vague description, so I don't know that we'll ever successfully clear that one. The other one was a strong-arm robbery on the streets of Oceano. Man was just stopped by some people in a car and robbed. We had those people within custody within a couple of hours. And then the other one I'm sure you're all familiar with was the attempted murder robbery we had a couple of weeks ago. I'm very happy to report that all three of those people are in custody. They're all awaiting charges on attempted murder and robbery charges. Last weekend we had a shooting at the Carambola. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. In a nutshell, it was a dispute, I believe, over a young lady. Two parties got in a brief physical tussle with each other. One half left, came back shortly thereafter with a sawed-off pump-action shotgun. While attempting to level it at his opponent, he was tackled by some members of the crowd. He managed to shoot around into the ceiling. Then they left. With the assistance of the Royal Grande Police Department and the CHP, we had those people detained and in custody within a couple hours as well. So, been busy, but we've been rolling them up one by one, and they're all in custody for the most part. We have some new hires. We've just hired five laterals. You will see some new faces here and there. That's five department wide. So we will have usually two at a time here on training when they're done with their training cycle. We hope, I know I hope because I do the scheduling, that we'll have at least two or three more bodies working at this station. In June, when the academy graduation happens at Hancock, we'll be getting four more. They'll also be coming through, so we'll have upwards of nine going through at the same time. So you'll word it up to us.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Believe me, you get an argument from me.
So that would be the place then to say to send letters of complaints.
Absolutely.
That it's not a very good business to be in our community.
Absolutely.
And guns and riot fights and all the little other things that go on there.
Absolutely. Our agency obviously has gone on record many times with exactly those sentiments, but it is ultimately up to them to pull their liquor license. Obviously, no liquor license, no bar. They'll move elsewhere. I will say it's an uphill battle. We are, unfortunately, not the only community with an attractive nuisance like the Carambola. I mean, there are a lot of communities that have bars that are just that kind of frequent activity.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Yes. Would it be possible for you guys to cross between Seneca and Beach to be out? Because we have people jumping our fence into our house that was last week. And before this week, I would say Saturday, they jumped into my neighbor's house. That was between 11 and 12 at night. And I think they come with their homes that are behind us.
Okay. What 100 block are you in?
Between 22nd and 23rd.
22nd and 23rd. That's the alley between them?
Yes.
I will get right on it.
Any other comments from the board? From the public, let me make one request. I don't have Lieutenant McCray on the agenda, if I could ask you to please introduce him. so that we could hear from him as well.
Okay. Well, he's also a recent addition, the new lieutenant with the St. Louis CHP office. And he and I just recently met a few weeks ago, so.
Good, Lieutenant.
Good evening, board members and community. I'm Sean McRae with the CHP out of the San Luis area, and I don't have any agenda items to report on today. I'm here to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions for the Lieutenant? Any members of the public have any questions for Lieutenant McRae from the Highway Patrol? And again, just so that the public understands, the Highway Patrol is responsible for traffic enforcement in Oceano, and the Sheriff's Department is responsible for other law enforcement, as I understand the distribution of authority there. Is that a fair statement?
That's correct.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for coming.
You're welcome.
President Hill, you know, I just had inspiration. When these gentlemen give a report, I feel like they would applaud.
That's good. We do applaud them. I've been asked to take a short, just a one-minute break for technical correction.
We're all green. Okay.
Thank you. We've fixed our technical issue. So we're back to agenda item 7, reports of district department heads. We have the report of the administrative assistant, which has been prepared. Do we have any questions from the board on that? I do have just one comment on that. We notified Union Pacific to clean up their property, and they actually did respond. And
yes,
is that they did
they,
clean
they
up?
Were, if you remember, it was brought to our attention, and the fire chief went over and looked up there. They had some pails of spike, something or other, and he ascertained that it was not a hazardous material. But I did call them. And they did come, and when they did come, I did call them back and thank them for coming, trying to establish a rapport with them.
Good. That's. I'm glad to hear that. Any other comments on the administrative assistance report? Peggy?
Public comment.
Public comment on this item.
Thank you, President Hill. Peggy Wilson, Oceano. With regard to the cleanup week and the follow-up work done by staff, certainly I want to express my thanks to Mr. Cooney and Ms. Mann, who drove around and made lists. It is something that we have agendized for the upcoming Oceano Housing Advisory Committee, as you know from your packet. And there's been concern expressed that we need to speed this process along, because although letters were sent out, it took some weeks for those letters to go out, I believe, after the cleanup week concluded. And then residents were given 10 working days, and then there's time on top of that.
Share your concern. And I understand that we have had repetitive instances where items were left after cleanup weeks, and possibly we can take some initiative to coordinate a little bit better with the cleanup to get that taken care of. Any other comment on this item?
I'm not sure whether my facts are right, but I kind of was under the impression that when something is a nuisance and there, that we have to send the person a letter and we have to give them so much time to take care of it, because they have to contact, they have a certain amount of time to get rid of it, and, or contract, or them to contact the garbage company to pay to have it taken away before we can have it taken away and charge them. Is that correct?
Our ordinance 1999-1 requires a 10-day notice.
Would it be possible to put advance notice of the fees for removing appliances and that sort of thing in the cleanup notices so that residents would be better informed on what the requirements are?
One of the things we are working on is that the notification process, because those fees are listed, they indicate right in the notice that it's 12 waste cans, and any large items are $5, but they need to call in advance because it's the garbage truck, the actual refuge truck, does not pick up refrigerators and things such as that. There were some people who were pretty blatant about what they had outside. They were contacted personally first just by a knock on the door, you know, trying to see what they could do. A lot of times those people weren't home. And then we finally did send a letter. I mean, once you send a letter, I mean, then you know, it gets a little more formal. And, you know, we try to handle it a little less formally.
I don't think that notice was particularly clear this time.
That's why we're trying to...
The garbage company, because it came from them, and I really feel that it wasn't really, really clear. I thought it kind of looked like, well, maybe in September you had to pay, you didn't have to pay in April. So hopefully... working with the garbage company, they'll put something out, you know, that is very simple and easy for all of us to understand.
I share your concern.
In the apartments, there was a lot of refrigerators and stoves. That's it. It was every unit in the apartment that was garbage, because that's where a lot of refrigerators and big items were. It was in the apartments, and I was wondering if they didn't pick them up, because there was a lot of them, but then there's apartments there, and I guess each of them, renters or whatever, put an item up there to be taken. Also, in my own house, they didn't even take the green can that's supposed to be free. They didn't take it. They stayed there till the following week. Okay, and I didn't have 12 bags, because I used a dumpster for my neighbor. I had big items, but they left. I understood that, so I picked them up. Mr. DeAngelo's brother picked them up. He took them for up from us. And but the other items, they left them there, and they were small. So I don't know what the garbage people is doing, but you better get to them too, not only to us to send us bills for more money, but to them also for not picking up what they're supposed to be picking up. Okay, I had a stove, it was a dryer, but I did call 2 weeks before. They did pick it up. So this is all.
Just for my clarification, so when I talk to them, could I ask a question?
Please do.
What, those items that they didn't pick up, did you call them and tell them that they were there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did call them, and I told them they were there. And they said that there were some that were longer than 12, other than 4 feet. Okay, they told me that it had to be smaller than 4 feet and tied up in a bundle. Okay, they were not. So I understood that. Okay. So that was fine. But the garbage can?
No, I understand. I'm just trying to, you know, get the facts so that when I talk to them, I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Mitch also asked her about the oil, if she asked him about the oil.
Oh, yeah. They had a little container, was a gallon of oil I put there, but I did not call.
Oh, okay.
So they did not take it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I took it to the filling station, and they took it there.
Okay.
So all that was taken care of.
Okay.
Any other comment? Ask for the report to be filed, please. Received and filed. Item 7B, Utility Operations Supervisor Report. Comments or questions from the board on that item? Any commentary from the public on that one? Item 9A, which is utility items, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is a continual disclosure of the emergency that the board declared following the earthquake almost a year and a half ago now regarding cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines. The board has to continue the declaration of emergency by a 4/5 vote. Any comments?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the board continue the declaration of emergency. Public comment?
Quick question, Peggy Wilson-Oceano. Is there an
upper limit to the length of time that you all are allowed to continue declaring this emergency, or does it just last until you get it fixed?
It lasts by continuing declaration of the board until the items are either fixed or otherwise resolved.
I see people moving around you, so if there are other comments from council and other directors, I would be grateful for the education. I'm simply trying to understand the situation better, and I had neglected to ask outside the public hearing venue. So,
thank you. Alex, do you have...
What you said, President Hill, is correct. The issue here is, I think General Manager Cooney has mentioned a couple times at past meetings, is that the district is trying to resolve this using all the normal processes that go along with handling public works projects. But we do recognize that there is some significant risk to the sewer and water lines because of the earthquake that occurred. And this preserves for us the opportunity and the ability to go in and get them fixed in very short order without following the Public Works Act rules if an emergency does arise out of that incident. Because we do recognize that some of those lines are in a little bit of jeopardy.
Also, as far as the sunset goes, we are currently processing through the FEMA application. We're getting some of the FEMA approvals to complete some of the lines, and we also have an appeal into FEMA. And so this is basically part of the follow-on. As far as the sunset goes, when we know what we're going to get to fix and what we're not, then we'll probably call this to a close.
In the declaration of emergency. Does that answer your question, Peggy?
I think so. It sounds like a very complex issue and one that I'm not up to speed on, obviously, and one that obviously everybody's put a lot of work into.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to continue the declaration of emergency. Is there any other public comment on this subject? Hearing none. Roll call, please, Gina.
Vice President Mann.
Yes.
Director Angela.
Yes.
Director Brookout.
Yes.
Director Dahl.
Yes.
President Hill.
Yes. Item B is a consideration of an approval of an agreement for professional services with Geo Solutions. Mitch, you made a recommendation on this. Would you like to comment on it?
Yes. Our district engineer has recommended that we hire an independent professional over and above the contractor to investigate and to review the compaction and the laying of some of the lines that are going in so that it would preclude problems at a later date. These are FEMA-funded projects, but these contractors work for us, not for the contractor, so that the professionals will be reviewing the work that the contractor's doing, and that will kind of give us an insurance policy that the work's being done, the compaction's being done, and that kind of stuff. So the recommendation is to approve the two professional services agreements that are before you this evening.
Okay. Any questions on these items from the board?
These most likely will be covered within the FEMA, by FEMA as well?
Yes.
This is estimate of...
Right, well, we don't...
400?
Yeah, don't... I'm sorry.
Is that a bid?
No. We hired these people, and I asked them, for an estimate of what it will cost. They indicated this is the outside number. It probably won't get to that number, but that's the outside number that it would get to. It all depends. Basically, it depends on how fast the contractor works, because what they're doing is they're checking the work of the contractor. They're checking the compaction and that kind of work that the contractor's doing. So if the contractor finishes fast, they get to finish fast. But these are outside numbers, so hopefully we won't get to those numbers.
Is this like a certification of the work? That they're certifying it?
Well, they're certifying it, yes, they are. And they're working for us rather than the contractors. If there's any kind of a question that comes up, they don't have any beholding at all to the contractor. They just come to us and say, hey, this the compaction isn't right, or, the grade level isn't right, or something.
I'll
ask that.
Having a third party in there during the time that they're working, is that going to... in any way slow down or change their ability to work to where it will cost us more to have the work done.
They bid the project.
Okay. Yes. So they bid it with someone overseeing them? That type of thing.
No one's complained.
Okay.
No one has raised their hand and said this is not a good idea.
Yeah, I just didn't want to see anything, any surprises later. The contractor say, well, we had to, pull our crew off for an hour and we're going to charge you for the whole crew for another extra hour because we got these other people.
That's a good point. That's a real good point. But, as I said, we've had no one complain.
Okay.
Vice President Mann brings to my attention, I appreciate it, that some of this work is done on North Swing Drive, and I understand there's no district sewer lines or trenches in front of my house on North Swing Drive, but I'm just wondering, I don't know the layout of the sewer system well enough to know whether I'm within 500 feet of that, so I may have a conflict here on this item.
And also Fountain Avenue.
So we happen to live in earthquake areas, I guess. So probably what I should do is turn this item over to Vice President Mann.
Or we could maybe ask Alex whether you guys have to recuse yourself, because if you don't, just didn't want to violate anything here.
Point is well taken.
I really don't know if they have a financial interest in this, because there's not,
Well, it's conceivable that you could have a financial interest. I question whether it's material, which is one of the tests, whether it's a material financial interest. There's also the possibility that this would fall under the affects the public generally. It doesn't affect you any differently than it affects everybody else
right.
in the public. I think this is at the margin. I don't think you'd be criticized for voting on this.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Okay, is there any comment from the public on this item?
Peggy Wilson, Oceano. Number one, I agree with what Council just said. That was what I just went over and whispered into Mr. Cooney's ear, much to his obvious delight. And I think that the recommendation here is a good one, and I'm glad that you're supporting it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other public comment? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Roll call, please, Gina.
Do we have a motion?
So it's been moved to approve the agreement for professional services with Geo Solutions.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Call the question, please.
Vice President Mann.
Yes.
Director Andrews.
Yes.
Director Bookout.
Yes.
Director Dahl.
Yes.
President Hill.
Yes. Utility item 9C, approval of an internal water allocation agreement. Mitch, you have a recommendation that the board join an internal water allocation agreement between Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, and OCSD.
Yes, sir. What this does is it's basically a continuation or shoring up, if you will, the gentleman's agreement or the water management plan agreement, which stemmed from the Santa Maria litigation. What it will do is require prior notification to all the other jurisdictions. Like, for example, if Grover Beach were to exceed their allocation, they would now have voluntarily agreed to notify all of us prior to exceeding their allocation. But in no way affects the water rights or the allocations of any of the parties to the gentleman's agreement, and it does not solve the long-term water supply shortage. As a matter of fact, the agreement itself indicates that the parties who do have a water shortage need to be addressing those actively as we go along. It provides flexibility to the jurisdictions, and it's kind of a mutual aid agreement along the lines we have many other mutual aid agreements with the cities, the five cities area. And I think it's a good plan. It took us about a year to work it out between the public works people from the various agencies, and this is the result of it. So we do recommend approval.
And these numbers are just like the gentleman's agreement.
They are the gentleman's agreement numbers, right. What this does is, see, the gentleman's agreement now is if somebody were to violate the gentleman's agreement, there's nothing in there that, you know, only thing that would happen is if we found out that Grover Beach, for an example, were pumping in excess of the amount of water, I would come to the board and indicate that. Then it would be the board's determination. Do they want to initiate litigation because they're in violation of a contract? This basically allows us to help each other out and to also give some impetus to those people who need to seek supplemental water sources, the ability to do so. So it's a short-term solution, and it's a mutual aid agreement between the parties.
Comments from the board? Other questions?
I would move that we have our general manager sign this agreement.
Actually, they changed the format at the last minute. Everybody signs it. Alex gets to sign it. President Hill gets to sign it. I get to sign it.
It's not like this one.
Well, no. Well, actually, the only thing that's changed is the signature pages. Every city had a different idea who should have signed it, so they just included everybody. So the new agreement has a signature block for the mayors and the presidents, all of the users of that. Now, Napomo is not.
Yeah, I know Napomo. I misspoke on that.
Okay. So the idea is that, you know, we don't get ourselves into a situation where we start having saltwater intrusion into the water basin, where we don't have depletion, where we don't have, you know, big underground problems, such as Napomo, I guess, is faced. I don't know that for sure, but I've heard they have. The intent of this agreement, which was entered into in 1983, is to protect this groundwater basin from overuse.
But at the same time, some cities are getting more from...
Well, actually, at this time, nobody is exceeding what we all agreed to. But
okay.
Based on the rapid growth of the five cities area, the city of Aurora Grande and the city of Grover Beach, who did not participate in the state water project,
yeah,
are coming up against their limitation as far as water availability goes. And so what we're suggesting is, since Pismo Beach and Oceano are not using all of our groundwater at this time because we're taking our water from Stillwater and Lopez, that the 4,000 acre feet are not being used.
Okay.
And so therefore, if a couple hundred acre feet are used by in excess are used by another city, you know, that would be acceptable under this agreement.
Okay. Yeah, I just, because I had no opportunity to see the agreement or know about it.
Perhaps the thing that Ms. White didn't pick up is that this is a reallocation of the 4,000 acre
yeah.
feet that's reserved for the cities.
Yeah.
The other 5,500 is for agricultural and other interests, and we're not reallocating that.
Yeah, right? Well, I did not pick that up, yeah. Obviously. Thank you.
I have one question. In here, it just says cities. So in this particular document, we're considered a city.
I'm sorry, what page are you on?
The whole thing. It refers to cities.
Okay. Yeah.
So we are considered a city in this agreement.
Under this, yes, because it does mention this right in the preamble there.
Yeah, but I'm just...
Yeah.
Just
it
to be
says,
sure.
Yeah, it says collectively referred to as... See, in the first paragraph, all of us are collectively referred to as cities or parties.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Any other questions, comments from the public? Hearing none, I'll look for a motion.
I made the motion.
Oh, I'm sorry, we did have a motion.
Did you have a second? Did he have a second?
I didn't.
No.
Who made it?
Sure. Director Angelo made the motion.
I'll make the second.
Director Dahl seconded it. Can we have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Mayor?
Yes.
Director Brookhouse?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Okay, brings us to item 9D, curb gutter sidewalk, a discussion. And we had a community enhancement meeting last month, I guess, where this was initially discussed. And I believe Vice President Mann was the chair of that. you have a...
I think we gave a report on it, but just to reiterate, there were a number of people there, and I believe four people were against curbs, gutters, and sidewalk, or wanted people to be able to choose, and four people were for them. Mr. Wampler had asked for 10 minutes to discuss things, and he did have that opportunity. I think we left it with also they did bring up the ordinance, and the ordinance was to be discussed under another committee about the ordinance, your committee.
Yes.
The will serve letter.
Okay.
That was an item. And then there was one person from the public, Pamela Dean, who gave some good input with suggestions about will serve letters and provided a lot of information, and it was passed on, I do believe.
Okay.
So that was basically that. It was half and half feeling whether we should continue to support the county's ordinance for curbs, gutters, and sidewalk, or whether we should lobby them to not do that. And then again, the will serve letter falls on
with service enhancement.
Yes.
Could we agendize this for service enhancement? Hopefully, can we do that for Monday?
There'll be five of us out of town.
Okay. Yes. Would Director Bookout be out of town?
Yeah, I'll be gone.
Okay. Or possibly 2 weeks, second Monday?
That would work for me.
Would that be all right?
Okay. At what time?
6:30?
Sure.
Does that give you enough time to prepare for that meeting and get stuff out for everybody?
I get an agenda out the next day or so.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and what we would do would be consider the implications on the will serve letter for that requirement. Any public comment on this item at this time?
I have a discussion.
Okay.
Very quickly, President Hill, members of the ward, Peggy Wilson, the Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee will be discussing this item on the 16th. And I'm pleased to see your board moving forward with discussions on this, particularly with regard to its will serve letter. And as you know, I have felt for many years that flexibility and common sense were what was called for with regard to this very important issue. And I will be happy to attend the meeting and or the next committee meeting, and I look forward to a good work product out of that committee meeting. Thank you.
And the Oceana Halcyon Advisory Committee meeting is the 16th, which is Monday, is that correct?
That's correct.
And 6:30 here.
That's correct.
Okay, Mark, would you like to do that?
First of all, I'm not quite up to speed as what you're going to be re-agendizing a portion of this discussion. And what will that entail exactly?
The Service Enhancement Committee is looking at possible improvements to the will serve letter and district communications with ratepayers.
Okay.
And so we would consider the implication of this requirement on the will serve letter.
Okay. So I can go ahead and proceed with this then, if I may. I have some handout sheets here I'd like to distribute real quickly. Okay. I hope you won't mind if I sort of turn this sort of semi here so I can speak out here. Okay, before I get started, I would like to mention that previous committee meeting where the subject of curbs, gutters, and sidewalks was discussed. What was discussed primarily was the ordinance itself, and that was a good discussion and worthy of public disclosure. It was illustrated after less than an hour, the brief history and impact of this ordinance, formerly known as Article 22106.070 of the Oceano Urban Area Standards. The community present at that time, in my opinion, stepped forward with overwhelming support for alternatives to cover curbs, gutters, and sidewalks. It was shown that our increasing drainage problems would be exacerbated and our streets would become more chopped up. Property owners, in many instances, would be very reluctant to develop their own properties. In addition, and this is very important, many of our narrow streets would not accommodate a sidewalk on either side in any instance. For example, the full length of Strand Avenue would have to become a one-way street should this ordinance take effect on that street alone. It would be impossible for opposing traffic to pass. This is just one reason by itself that the curb gutter and sidewalk mandate cannot work for Oceano. Now, there is good news for some of you who are seeking waivers. Waivers are happening, and one can happen to you. It costs $181 to file, and it'll be up to you to present your findings with the county, planning, and public works. Right now, things are in the works to make it easier for individual homeowners who wish to add on or build without being held hostage to what I consider a misrepresentation of jurisdiction. I can assure you that there are those in county positions who are sympathetic with our plight. Now, all that was just previously stated is well and good, and the community has already spoken loud and clear. What I am presenting here tonight has to do with the role that the OCSD has been playing in all of this. Just to remind us here, what is being viewed is the county ordinance 22. Now, at this time, I want you to refer to your handout sheets. And I want to ask this, if I may, of council, and I'm also going to bring this before the board. And if you mind, Mr. Seamus, I'd like to personally ask you these questions one at a time. Number one, does the Oceano Community Services District have jurisdictional authority to enforce Article 22106070, or as referred to, the Oceano Urban Area Standards? And by authority, I mean the power to make legitimate inspections and enforce code enforcement. Mr. Seamus? Yes, I'm sorry.
Addressed to the...
Okay. All right. Please. Then, as I said, I'm directing this to the board, and also I'm directing this to who's an authority to answer these questions. And I believe I have a right, as under the Brown Act, to ask these questions.
We can. What I'll do is I will take these questions, and in our committee meeting, we'll consider this this county ordinance and the legal ramifications of that.
So would this be an agendized?
Yes, that would be again Thursday, May 19th at 6:30.
Okay, so these specific questions will be addressed.
We can address these questions related to our will serve letter.
Okay, yeah. As a committee meeting, that would not there would be no board action taken at that time. It would be referred to the following board meeting.
That's correct.
Okay, fair enough. All right, and that's all I have to present. Thank you,
Mr. President. In our meeting. That me and Barbara had with in the meeting me and Barbara had with the on the sidewalk issue, to where the will serve letter came up to be, which was going to be addressed by your committee later on. The thought and the input at the time was that that these issues be looked at, and that the will serve letter one direction to take might be that the will serve letter looks at the specific things that the OCSD is interested in, and the things that the OCSD does not directly have a jurisdiction over or interest in be included or be possibly included as an informational side of the will serve letter. That was the, you know, some of the public comment stuff that came up at that point in time in that meeting.
Okay, thank you, Vern.
You're welcome.
Okay, any other discussion on this item? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 10. Administrative items 10A, consideration of policy concerning Board of Director minutes. Mitch, would you like to introduce this item?
Yes.
Before you do, okay, never mind. Go on. I'm sorry. I was jumping ahead of myself a little bit.
A director has requested that this item be placed on the agenda for consideration. Before you is a recap, not a recap, but an exact copy of what our minutes call for right now. For an example, we had a request that something that's handed out at a meeting be attached to the minutes. There's no provision for that in our rules of order. If you go to the elections code, for an example, just as a parallel thing, you just can't, you know, have the person who's doing sample ballots also include pencils and calendars and all, you know, glossy photos of people that he sent out with all the material. The minutes, what constitute minutes is pretty well specified in section 4.1. And then also 4.2 kind of tells a little bit more about what that's supposed to do. But there is, I guess, some question. We've had some people come before the board and ask that there be almost a transcript of certain portions of the agenda that they were interested in. And again, these are minutes. These are not. This is not a transcript. So I think that an airing of you know, what the board, because these are board minutes, what the board expectations are for their minutes, and if there's is to be a change, we can memorialize those, bring those back at a future meeting for adoption by the board as a change to the rules of order.
Okay, thank you. Do we have particular points of view from the board on how the minutes should be kept and presented?
Well, I had been support or opposition of such matter. So if Mary Jane Smith spoke for curbs and gutters, it should say she spoke for that, and John Brown spoke against it, it should say John Brown spoke against. Perhaps, I don't know, would that make things better, or should we just go to plain old action items only? I don't know, but
does anyone else have a feeling?
Well, you know, now that all the meetings are being taped, I know Alex has said in the past that those tapes aren't forever, but there's also in this talks about we can destroy the tapes after 90 days or erase the tapes. I think it would be beneficial to us as far as cost and so forth to do action only minutes and then supplement with a copy of the tape. So if you had both, you know, maybe that tape isn't going to last 500 years, but it probably lasts as long as any of us sitting up here is going to last.
Think maybe if we go to the action items only, but I think I would like to see that 4.4 where we would say John Brown and Mary Jane Smith, which either side, you know, even in an action item only, wouldn't you?
I tend to agree with that. That I believe there's that our policy up until now, or if not our policy, but our precedent that's been set, is that we generally included the names of people that addressed the board and whether they spoke in general support or opposition to any given item. And that a lot of people in the community find that helpful, from what I'm told. So I would tend to support that in addition to perhaps just the action items that are outlined in our current policy 4.2.
Can I make a point on just something that Director Angelo said?
Please.
There, just for an example, there is an issue that would outlast the tapes are considered to have about a 7-year life at the most. And, you know, if you get somewhere in the middle of that, sort of like beta, if you get towards the end of it, you might buy a beta machine and then all of a sudden you find yourself without capability.
We could have a transfer to new tape at that point.
Oh, okay. Well, what I'm saying is that if they last 7 years, and I can just name an item, the community center, that's lasted more than 7 years. I mean, and so that we wouldn't have a complete record.
But we could have the transfer.
It would be expensive.
I don't know. I got home movies of me when I was this big. So,
were you ever that? 5 years ago.
Were you ever that big?
Yeah.
I'm just making a. You know,
I note that we're getting DVD copies. Are we not from AGP now?
We're supposed to be. Yes. We had a discussion with them this evening about that, right?
And
how long do they last, David?
They're supposed to last forever.
Until you scratch them.
Yeah, they do scratch.
Well, the paper could get burned up too.
That's true.
I guess the only point I'm trying to make is that I don't think we want to make these things too narrow, so that we kind of have maybe a little duplicity here.
I think that the tapes and the DVDs are good, but I don't think we want them to be an official part of the minutes.
What I was saying is just make sure that all the minutes are accompanied by either a tape or a DVD. Then you wouldn't have to have such detailed minutes. Because that is a hang-up, you know, that we do get a lot of complaints about the minutes.
I'm sensitive to that concern also. I think that if we complied with 4.4 here, where the names of persons that spoke and whether they spoke in general support or opposition would probably be adequate, I would think, to at least if someone wanted to do further research on it in terms of public record, they could then be guided to the tape or DVD. I don't know if there's any. Bill Vern, do you have any?
I think the DVD, you know, going back to 4.4 with the DVD, works very well, and it gives the tape version of the meetings gives a good reference copy. And it was pointed out that 7 years is the lifespan of one of these tape copies. Most of this will be hashed out within 7 years, and anything that's not
DVDs, as long as reasonably practical, so that there is something to supplement the written record, but you're not locking yourself in to having to advance with technology every time something changes and maintain these DVDs forever, or worry about what happens if something gets scratched.
How are the communities around us acting on their on this here? Are they?
I'm sorry, I really don't know. I don't know.
That might be interesting to find out.
Alex, you have.
I know a little bit about it. I know they're all discussing this issue of how long to maintain the tapes or the DVDs, whatever media they get them in. I'm not aware of any of the other local communities in which the content of the minutes has become a hot political issue as it has here. So it's something that's being handled more internally and administratively by the staff as more as a matter of convenience as to how they might want to hold on to those and how long they want to hold on to those.
Okay, I guess I have heard requests from members of the public that we at least have in accordance with item 4.4 here, the names and general nature of the remarks that people might make. And I think that our minutes ought to serve the purposes of the district and the community rather than be concerned with what other other entities do, per se.
What are you saying exactly? Are you saying the title and the subject matter to which the remarks were related? Is
yes.
that enough? And then
and,
the name and yes or no?
And whether yeah, and whether they spoke in support or opposition.
So in other words, not Mary Jane Smith said X, Y, Z, da, 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 da. Just Mary Jane Smith was in favor of whatever the subject is.
Without the actual remark.
Right. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, although in our general public comment, we might say that Mary Jane Smith addressed the board in support of X.
Yeah.
Is there, do we have any more board discussion? Any comment from the public on this item?
Better hurry.
Mark Wampler, Oceano. I am definitely in favor of a video disc. Now, your DVDs are a little more expensive. They just are. They'll handle double layers up to 8-point-something gigs. However, a CD is pretty darn cheap, and you can at least get an audio copy on a CD. CDs are not subject to electrostatic damage as tapes are. You can take and pass a big, strong magnet over it. It isn't going to lift a thing. Scratching, you keep it in a case, you don't worry about scratching. Okay, they will last a long, long time. Digital media can be transferred to other formats very, very easily. Your real media player and your Windows media player are going to be around for a long, long time. I doubt if you're going to see any changes to that. Okay, CDs can also contain video as well. Now, you have a little small footprint on your video monitor, but that's okay. You'll get a video presentation. You can put several hours even on a CD. Okay, so that's doable. Okay, and CDs are cheap. If DVDs are too expensive, you can go to CDs. I've done it right here. I've done it at home. You can take it right off the camera, put it on a CD. 2 hours on a CD is easy. Okay, you have a record. You have a video record. You have an audio record. Very doable. And secondly, I'm in favor, definitely, of written submissions to be a part of the minutes. That is definitely needed, okay, for the record. And if it's in writing and submitted to the board for public submission on the record and the agenda of the minutes, it needs to be on there, okay? Otherwise, it's a he said, she said. And with regard to the minutes, that is the official public record, and if it's skewed in any way or at the editorial license of whoever is doing the minutes, I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned for fairness, as was pointed out previously about infractions that lead to what looks to me like discrimination. Okay, I'm concerned about that. That's why written submissions need to be a part of that. Even if it's handwritten, typed, if it's written and part of the public record, it needs to be on there. Thank you.
President Hill, maybe we could add then if a written comments, either and they can be handwritten or typed or turned in at the time of this meeting, they would be attached to the meeting to the minutes. I didn't say that, or I did say that. You know, it would just be one more page that has to be Xeroxed, but we could live with that, I would think.
I agree with your position. Pamela, further public comment?
Yes, Pamela Dean, Oceano. And I like what I'm hearing from Barbara Mann this evening. We've had a lot of instances where things weren't reported. And I'm one of those that doesn't get reported too much. And we've had a lot of audio tapes that were a big problem, like we just totally didn't have anything on the audio tape in the past. So I think we take advantage of our AGP video and those DVDs and use them in support of our minutes, because from what you're talking about putting in the minutes, you can research that, then go to the DVDs and have everything there. You may need it for your own protection. We may need it for something if somebody is telling us we said something and we didn't say that, we need it for a disclosure. So I would like to recommend that you go on this path that you're working on, and that we back it up with the DVDs in perpetuity, or as long as they last, however long we can keep them. Some of these things we've been talking about have been going on for years and years and years. They're not going to get settled all at once, and I'd like to have the backup for it later on. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment?
President Hill, Peggy Wilson, Oceano. Any action that excludes the public from the doing of its own business is in error. And I'm very happy to hear support voiced for inclusion of written submissions into your minutes, our minutes. They are, in fact, the minutes of the board's business, but you are our board. And if it does matter what other folks are doing, to the extent that if our standards are lower than the regional norms, it does matter. So I'm happy to see this happening. I would ask that number 4.2 be stricken, because it appears to be confusing and mutually exclusive with 4.3, 4.4, and the new proposed addition. I would very much like to see that language either stricken or very clearly clarified, because they do at this time seem to be a little mutually exclusive. I would like a specific section added to amend the rules of order to specifically include written submissions, as has been discussed. I think at this time the point's been well made that item 4.4 is sometimes being selectively applied, and I would like to see the word attempt stricken from that, because it's a very simple matter to ask for the name of a speaker, and I think that will go far toward helping get consistency with this. On to item 4.6. As has been pointed out by legal counsel, the written record is the legal record. I think that it's a very, very wonderful idea to attach by reference the discs. Electronic media are just imperative in today's society and in the function of government. I'd also think it might be handy and could be done very efficiently to include a reference to the fact that these discs also can be found on file in the public library, although you can't obviously take responsibility for that. So there has to be some method of disclaimer if that's going to be considered. When people go in and research the record, it's generally for a specific item, so they're not going to want to watch an entire tape. And again, making this available by disc and making it permanent, I think, is not only good for the public, but it protects you all, because Proposition 59 will eventually rise to the surface in terms of litigation. And I think that down the road it might save us a lot of time and district money. I think it might save district council a lot of headaches. And I very much appreciate your board revising these policies concerning the minutes of the directors' meetings. I think this is a very good thing for us all, and I very much appreciate it. And I will conclude my comments, President Hill, with a humble plea before we go on to the next item.
Okay. Would we be remiss in taking a break at this point for 10 minutes?
You just took the break.